Today, the topic is very important, talking about mental and spiritual restoration. And thinking of mental and spiritual restoration, we have to ask the question, is it possible to have a completely pure mind? Is a complete, total, and total victory in the thought life possible? And if yes, is such just a mere theory? Or is it something that is possible for you and me? Just how important are these questions? And can an impure mind keep us out of heaven? No, friends, I have to admit that regarding the limitations of the mind, I am wholly underqualified to speak to you on the subject. Even if you ask the top psychologists in the world, they may have different opinions. And if you ask the greatest doctors and scientists, they also would have different opinions. But all the combined knowledge from all the scientific books in the world are no match compared to the truth and knowledge found in the Word of God. Let's not waste our time today with the theories of learned men. I think it's time we put aside the New York Times bestsellers and listen to the best advisor of all time, God. After all, of what value is the opinions of men when compared to the knowledge of God? In fact, only God can truly answer these questions accurately. So let us study the Bible, the inspired words of God, to discover if and how we may gain true mental restoration. But before we study the Bible today, let us pray.
Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit today to teach us your ways. Help us to understand your word and to draw closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, if you have it. And I'd like someone actually to read the last two verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And, you know, we could ask many smart people, top doctors, perhaps even if we could go back in time, we could ask Albert Einstein or someone very smart, is having a pure mind important? But I think it would be wise to ask someone who was much wiser than me, which was Solomon. And so let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And Solomon tells us, is the topic of spiritual and mental restoration really important even for us in these last days?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 through 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil.
The book of Ecclesiastes right there tells us that everything will be brought into judgment, and that would include the thoughts of our mind, would you agree? Everything will be brought into judgment. So we know that the topic of our mind and what we think about is very important. But, you know, more than just Solomon speaking there, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know that perhaps someone even greater to ask than Solomon would be Jesus, asking if we could ask Jesus, are our thoughts important? Is this topic of mental and spiritual restoration very important even for us? So I encourage you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. And are our thoughts important? And how important truly are they? Does it really matter what we think?
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 16 through 20, says, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.
So our thoughts can what? Our thoughts can defile us, even. So this topic is very important. And there's one last verse that we need to look up. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. I'd like you to go there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Jesus said that we can be defiled by our thoughts. And Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declared that our thoughts will be taken into account in the judgment. Does anyone have the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 27? I'll go ahead and read that verse, and it says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." We know that nothing that defiles enters into the kingdom of God. And so if we have an impure mind, evil thoughts, we know that based on Revelation chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 15, that no one can enter heaven if they are cherishing sinful thoughts and not repenting. But don't we all struggle with sinful thoughts? You know, we most definitely do. The book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23 is a very famous verse, and it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you know, one of the worst things about sin is that it separates us from the God who loves us. And when we see these verses, it can be almost discouraging when you think about it, can't it? We know that sin is something that can separate us and make us feel farther and farther away from God. And even sometimes our minds can be impure by the temptations of this world. You know, one of the greatest well-known sins in the Old Testament was David with Bathsheba. And David's sin didn't begin in the bedroom. It really began on the rooftop when he saw Bathsheba and when impure thoughts started entering his mind. You know, we know that sin begins not in our actions, but it begins in the mind. Now, you've heard the question, what would Jesus do? And that's a very good question, right? What would Jesus do? But, beloved, today I want to take it one step further. What would Jesus think about? What would Jesus dwell on? Do we think as Jesus did? Are our thoughts pure or defiled? You know, I think how we can learn to have a pure mind is to really look at what Jesus was thinking about. What do you think Jesus thought about? Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. We want to look a little bit at the mind of Christ and see, because we know Jesus' mind was pure. So the book of Psalm, chapter 1. And we're just going to read the first two verses. If someone is there, I encourage you to go ahead and read that out loud for us. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 2.
Yes. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night."
You know, Jesus had a pure mind. And here in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who meditates on the Word of God, or on the law of God, day and night, all the time. In fact, another Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." You know, every day Jesus was thinking about other people. He was thinking about the Word of God. And he was thinking about the law of God and how he could not just avoid sin, but also how he could best serve God and reach souls for the kingdom. What do you think the best way is to renounce worldliness? How must we renounce sin? I think perhaps the best way to get rid of sin is how we get rid of weeds. You know how I'm tempted to get rid of weeds is I use a weed whacker. And I just cut the tops of the weeds off. But is that the best way to get rid of weeds? Certainly not, right? Because what happens? They just grow right back, right? Exactly right. The roots are still there. Now, just changing the external appearance of a weed does not solve the problem. You know, we all have a problem with sin, and the root of our problem is our sinful mind and sinful heart. You know, we can change our outward appearance, we can dress up nicer, we can think we are so holy and so good, and compare ourselves amongst ourselves and with the people of the world. After all, we tithe, we go to church every week, and we keep the Sabbath. But you know, there was, even in the time of Jesus' day, a category of people who went to church every Sabbath, and they tithed. But Jesus warned them. He said, "Woe to you, for you clean the outside of the cup, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." The only way to get rid of worldliness, the only way to get rid of sin and truly get the victory, the only way to be clean in Christ is that we must surrender our heart and our mind to Jesus. An outward cleaning without cleaning the inside is useless. Now, we've learned already that based on the Bible, we need pure minds, that nothing will enter heaven that is defiled. And we know that sin begins in our heart, our desires, and in our mind. Now we know that Jesus was tempted, but did Jesus ever yield to a sinful thought? No. Jesus never yielded to a sinful thought. No, we read in Matthew that Jesus said that our thoughts can defile us. Yet the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. Yet he was without sin. He was a lamb without blemish, without defilement. Surely Jesus is our best example to look at to see how we can obtain a pure mind. You know, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 30, he said, "The prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." Satan did not gain the victory over Christ, even in the mind. The mind of Christ was completely pure. Now we find something radical thinking of the mind of Christ. We know the mind of Christ was completely pure, but I'd like you to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And I'd like someone to read Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5. Now, Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 says something radical. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And yet we know the mind of Christ was pure. So God's will for our lives is not to be in continual sin, but rather he wants to transform our minds into his lovely and pure character. You know, we can draw only one conclusion based on this verse, friends. The conclusion is best summed up in a wonderful book called The Desire of Ages, which on page 123, it says, "There was in Jesus nothing that responded to Satan's sophistry. He did not consent to sin. Not even by a thought did Jesus yield to temptation. So it may be with us." Oh, that's a precious promise, friends, that the mind of Christ can be ours. Now, it's not saying that we're going to be omnipotent like God, but that Jesus has the ability to purify our minds, that what those sinful temptations and things that we dwell on, we need not let sin have dominion over us. Now, if we continue reading in the book The Desire of Ages, it says, "Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he came to make us partakers of the divine nature. So long as we are united to him by faith, sin has no more dominion over us. God reaches for the hand of faith in us to direct it to lay fast hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may obtain to perfection of character." Now those are high goals, isn't it? To have the mind of Christ, to have a pure mind. But how is it accomplished? How can we truly obtain the mind of Christ? You know, there's so many things that we could look at in the Bible. But actually, Ellen White continues to, just in a paragraph later, she said, she asked the question, how is this accomplished? Christ has shown us. By what means did he overcome in the conflict with Satan, speaking of in the wilderness? The answer is by the Word of God. Remember that when Satan tempted Jesus, that Jesus already had the Word of God in his mind. And every time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus spoke back with the Word of God. Ellen White continues to write, only by the Word could he resist temptation. It is written, Jesus said. And unto us are given exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Every promise in God's word is ours. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God are we to live. When assailed by temptation, look not to circumstances or to the weakness of self, but to the power of the word. All its strength is yours. Thy word, said the psalmist, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. By the word of thy lips I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Psalm 17:4. Friends, are you struggling with sin? Have you ever made a promise to God and then broken it? I know I have. Have you tried to gain the victory over sinful act or thought but failed? Do you feel like God cannot grant you a pure mind? The Bible tells us of a man who was not gaining the victory over sin. In fact, sin was gaining the victory over him. But one day something happened that changed his life. And it is written in the Bible for our encouragement. Let's go there to that story. Let's go to the historical account of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'd like someone to just read Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and it describes a man and the problems that were going on in his life. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
Mark 5, 1 through 5 says, Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, that's Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones.
The Bible speaks of this man, and he was in very bad mental and spiritual shape, couldn't you say? In fact, he was comparing us to him. He would seem in much worse shape than us. So many things, so many troubles. In fact, it says he was possessed by an unclean spirit. But you know, if we continue to read, one day this man who was tormented by demons met Jesus. And in Mark chapter 5, skipping down to verse 9, Jesus asked this man, and he says, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. No, I tried looking up to see how much is a Roman legion. And a Roman legion is between, we're not exactly sure, but maybe between 4,000 to 5,000 soldiers. And so it stands to reason that Jesus was facing between 4,000 to 5,000 demons. But with Jesus on our side, do we need to be afraid of the temptations of the devil? With Jesus on our side, do we need to be afraid of not gaining the victory? What happened between those thousands of demons, this poor man possessed by them, and Jesus?
Mark chapter 5, verses 12 through 13 tells us, So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us unto the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. There the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and drowned in the sea.
Now, friends, there's no question that Jesus is stronger than all the forces of evil combined. For the demons begged Jesus that they might not be tortured. Now, if we are faithful to Jesus, if we surrender our heart and mind to Him, He has promised to protect us. Now, the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 12 says, "For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Now, Jesus has promised to watch your back. If we continue to read in the same chapter in verses 14 to 15, it says, "So those who fed the swine fled, and they took it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." You know, we could say that the man who was possessed by a legion of demons was extremely messed up. He ran around naked, cut himself, and lived in a tomb by the account of Mark, he was in a great deal of misfortune. But you know, the account of Mark tells us that no matter how much the devil has messed you up, Jesus Christ can restore you. And no matter how much the devil has messed you up, Jesus Christ is willing to restore you. You know, certainly, friends, we know that if we were in that man's situation, we might count ourselves as hopeless. You know, the demoniac was filled with impure thoughts, the whispering temptations of demons. His outward actions were extreme. And like the disciples, if we were to encounter such a man on the streets, we would probably be afraid of him. We might even flee in terror. But Jesus did not flee in terror. Instead, he saw a soul to save. Now, looking back on our lives with ourselves, we might see little good. When considering our life and the battle in our mind, we might see but little holiness. Yet Jesus has the wonderful ability to see through our present faults and see what we will become by His transforming grace. If you think that your condition is hopeless, know that there is always hope with Jesus. The demoniac, after he had a radical encounter with Jesus, became clothed and in his right mind. Now, friends, he was more than just physically clothed. He was clothed in the righteousness of Christ. How is that for mental and spiritual restoration? You know, a man went from being demon-possessed and crazy to being in his right mind just by one encounter with Jesus. You know, with man such is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, if you feel lonely or depressed, you can go out and try all the drugs in the world. Pills that are designed to alter your emotional state. You can try these things, these medications, the theories of human psychologists and worldly doctors. Yet you will discover that sinful temptations will still bombard you. You know, the methods of human physicians and theories will fail. But Jesus is the great physician. He is the only one who can truly transform the mind. You know, friends, the same God who spoke the worlds into existence can speak a new heart into you. He can create a new mind in you, friends. By beholding, we can become transformed into His image. You know, in the weeks ahead, we will study practical and biblical methods for obtaining a pure mind. Yet today we learned the foundations from the Bible that having a pure mind is important, for our thoughts can defile us, and every thought will be taken into account in the judgment. Yet, we need not be afraid if we are with Jesus, for he was able to transform the mind of a man who was possessed by thousands of demons. And the same God who transformed that man's mind is able to transform yours. We also discover that it is possible to have a pure mind. The Bible declares, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When God asks you to do something, he asks you because he gives you the assurance in that very request that he will provide the power for you to do it by his grace. Lastly, we learn that Jesus is the only solution to our mind problem. You see, friends, we might have failed in the past many, many times. But the key to having a pure mind is not in yourself. It is in Jesus Christ. The power to you obtaining a pure mind is not in yourself. It is in Jesus and in his power. The very foundation of experiencing a transformed mind is to have Christ dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit transforming you, and the Word of God in your heart and mind. Friends, are you struggling in your thought life? Are you holding a grudge against someone? Do you need Jesus? Friends, if you are holding a grudge against someone today, now is the time to let that grudge go. If you are cherishing lustful thoughts, today is the day to surrender your mind to Christ. You know, we might have tried in the past and failed. We've tried so hard and failed so many times. Yet the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Friends, if you desire to be a Christian, now is the time. Now is the golden opportunity. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, I'd like to close today's study with a precious promise of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 7. I encourage you to go there, Matthew chapter 7, for our closing verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And we're just going to read all the way to verse 11. And I'll go ahead and read our closing verse for today, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Here Jesus is speaking and he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Those are promises, friends. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Friends, the Father himself, he loves you. He did not send Jesus to die on the cross to destroy you, but rather he sent Jesus to restore you. Would you like to have a pure mind, the mind of Christ? Are you willing to surrender those sinful indulgences and thoughts to him? Are you willing to allow Jesus to transform your mind? Is that the prayer of your heart today, friends? I know that's a prayer of mine. If so, I'd like to invite you today to ask the Lord through prayer to transform his mind, our minds, by his grace, day by day. Will you bow your head with me in prayer as we close in prayer today? Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we know that we have failed you so many times. But Lord, you are willing to forgive us. For if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. Lord, you are willing to purify our minds. What a precious promise we have in your word. Lord, we know that you care for us so much. We desire to have pure minds, Lord, day by day, moment by moment. We know that this can occur not by might nor by power, but only by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And so today, we ask for your Holy Spirit to transform our minds, day by day, moment by moment. Help us to have our minds transformed into your character, into your mind. Lord, I pray for each individual here today that you help us to draw closer to you. Help us to gain a deeper relationship with you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much. We thank you, Lord, that that if you can heal a man possessed by so many evil spirits, Lord, you've done it in the past, and you can do it for us. So, Lord, take our minds and our hearts. Transform us into your lovely image. And come soon, Lord Jesus. We humbly ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.